In all those years that you've been associated with Gloucester, would you like to run through who your sort of dream team would be? Who stand out in each position? Shall we start with tight head prop?
Tight head props. Well, Vix has obviously got to be up there. I didn't play a huge amount with Vix actually, because he was often with England, Lions, and then left for Wasps. But he was superb, and having him, Trevor Woodman, and Olivier Zahm in the front row, I mean, those three were just unstoppable at the time. Carlos Nieto was great at tight head for us. He was an unbelievable little Italian bloke who you do look at and you think, how are you possibly a tight head? But he'd be very, very strong. Loose head with Trevor Woodman, obviously, is formidable. And I didn't play a huge amount with him. I primarily played majority of my rugby with Nick Wood. And Nick was great. You know, he'd come in as a young academy player, and was hugely proud to play for the club. You know, this was everything for him. And he went on to, well, I ended up playing about 150 games scrummaging behind him. So we had a great partnership and a great understanding. Hookers, obviously Olivier Zang was the notable one. And the other one that sort of springs to mind is Mevyn Davis. Who was just another nuggety Welsh hooker who came in as a bit of a shock, really. I don't think anyone really knew anything about Mevyn Davis, but he was superb, and had a great feel for the game.
As somebody watching from the sidelines, I'd say Mevyn Davis, he continually surprised me at how good he was.
Yeah. Yeah, he, that's exactly it. He'd be over the ball. He'd be fantastic. Line outs and set piece was always very, very strong. But moreover, he'd be just like another back row player, supporting and linking in. And yeah, he was great. So I played some great second rows as well. Jim Hamilton, and Marco Bortolami. I think, a lot of my rugby was played with Will James as well, and Will was superb. I played with Will in Pontypool. We both played Pontypool together, so it was funny to join back up with him when he came up, came back to Gloucester.
One of the features of your period here was how regularly you played for Gloucester. Yeah. So there weren't many other second rows who were able to take your place.
No.
It was you and someone.
Yeah. I played a lot. There was a period when I played for overlap with the time at Bristol. I played a lot of rugby for Bristol, and it was just back-to-back rugby, consecutively playing games. And I came here and I played, I think, three seasons on the bounce without stopping. It was just, and that you look now, that just would not happen. We'd get rotated, we'd get rested, you'd get injured. So yeah, I was lucky enough to play a lot of rugby in a relatively short space of time.
And ended up making 215 appearances.
I know. So that, with I think it was about 90 odd at Bristol, is quite a lot of rugby in the professional era. I know there's a lot of 500, well, there's 500 pluses, I think, from looking at the
that comes from playing twice a week.
That's right,
week in, week out.
Twice a week in, week out. I don't know how they do it. No training, obviously, but
well, the midweek game is regarded as training. And flankers?
Back row, so we'd have James Forrester had to be there as an eight. I mean, he was just genius. I mean, you couldn't do some of the stuff he does. He was brilliant. I loved having Jake Boer as a captain as well at six. He was brilliant. There's lots of sevens that I played with as well. Andy Hazel was just typical, summed up Gloucester. You know, just
couldn't be more Gloucester.
No, absolutely, and that's exactly what I came here for a character like him. But there's some other great ones. Acapulco Carrera, he's just superb at seven, and those two had a long-standing battle about who to pick. I remember that was a challenge at the time, but yeah, those would be the standouts, I think. Nines. Andy Gummersall was here when I first joined, and then Rory Lawson. Yeah, I can't think of any other nines that was around at that time. One of those two. I mean, they were both great. Rory was more of a modern day nine, a bit fitter than Gummers. Gummers went on to play for I think they went to the Wasps, did he? Yeah. So,
were they noisy and telling what they wanted from the pack?
That's right, and that was so important, having that relationship with them, demanding us to do more, and I think it's something that's still really important for a nine to still dominate the pack. It doesn't seem right, but there was normally the smallest man in the squad normally, but dominating these big forwards is that they want to have that guidance, you know. And then tens, I suppose. Well, we had, I said before, we had a few. We went few. But of all the ones here, I think Nicky Robinson was probably the most exciting one that I played with. I loved playing with Nicky. Freddie was great as well, as was Ryan, and Chris Patterson was here for a little bit, very, very short bit. Didn't quite live up to...
Wasn't entirely successful.
No. 12s and 13s, obviously Tins has got to be there. But I remember when I first came, Terry Fowler was just absolutely killing it. And Robert Todd.
Yes.
Those two were just dominating at the time.
Both players who put in an unbelievable amount of effort.
Yeah, they were great. Centres. I actually really liked when Sinbad played in the centre as well. Sinbad had the odd game in the 13, and it was superb. I loved him playing there, but he'd be definitely one of the choices on the wing. And
I must say, I really enjoyed it when Jamie Forrester played in the centre.
Yeah, he played 12, didn't he?
Yeah.
I got away with that, I don't know. It was one game only, but still got the shirt to prove it. Les Vinicolo, the big Les on the wing. That was, I remember the first game up at Leeds, scored five tries. I was like, this is great, you can keep doing that every week. And then fullback, there's some really good ones. Tinus Delport was played for a bit, but Ollie Morgan probably was the standout for me. When he was fit, he was deadly, you know. Never known someone so good under the high ball, and his positioning was superb. Just plagued with injury again towards the end of his career, which was disappointing.
If you're talking to a youngster, you know, about playing in the second row, what advice do you give them, or would you give them?
I'd often speak to second rows because primarily around line out, because it was my skill, and a lot of it can be overlooked as someone else's job, and so I try to make them a bit more proactive in terms of their research and understanding and their study. I remember speaking to Johnny Hill when he was here as an academy player, and was a bit of a mentor for him. I'm glad he seems to hit some success, although disappointingly not with us. It would be brand around that, really. Speaking about line outs and their work rate off the field, not just on the training ground. This is a job. It's not something you can just do on the training field. Forget about it. There's got to be work at home or work outside.
So they've got to be intelligent.
Yes, there has to be a level of intellect that you have an understanding about what's going on and more of a game feel. But they don't all have to be intelligent. You can direct people if they are not that intelligent. You just have to tell them what to do. But at least one of them has to be, and have that understanding about what's going on. You need that for sure.
Which number 8 shoved hardest up your backside?
God, a junior paramour probably, when he wanted to. You know, he was. I remember it was so funny. I remember coming, like we'd get a ball kicked off to us, and Junior would catch and he'd make a run, and the whole shed would go Junior, Junior, and then the next kick off he'd get the ball kicked to him, he'd drop it, and the shed would go Junior, Junior. No matter what the man did, whether he'd drop it or he'd run 10 meters, didn't make a difference. They just seemed to love him. But yeah.
Thing I remember of him is he came on particularly in the latter stages of his career as a replacement, and you'd see him come on after an hour, and he would deliberately run in a semicircle towards the opposition, grinning wildly at them.
Really?
And you thought, you know, the effect of this, you know, you've got me coming on.
I know.
You know, and I've only got 20 minutes to knock bells out of you.
Intimidating feel, isn't it?
Yeah.
Again, like that's what it was.
Yeah. Can I take you back to England? We've mentioned you know, your first cap in Australia. Who made a real impression on you on that tour to Australia?
Johnny Wilkinson. Yeah, he's just insane, and just his level of detail and understanding. And I said about the second rows going and doing extra work, and he'd be one of those that just would not stop.
Mm.
Just unbelievable. Just the next level of professionalism. You just wouldn't believe the amount of work he does off the field, and just to better himself, and not. And you think about it, he would be quite a selfish thing, but it's not. It was all for the team, you know. So yeah, he was an inspiration.
Did you share a room with somebody on that tour?
Who did I share with? Someone or other.
Made a big impression on you. And then the following summer you went to South Africa.
Yes.
Two caps there.
Yes, two caps there.
What impressions
there.
come to your mind?
Jason Robinson was on that tour. And he was brilliant as well. Yeah, South Africa, that was interesting. I met I was playing against Victor Matfield, and for me he was the standout second row, so at the time he was dominating everything, and I remember analysing and doing loads of reviews before the game and just thinking, I can't believe I'm going to be playing against Victor Matfield. And it was intimidating enough, but we had a quite good first outing against him. Second time he probably got the better of me, which is disappointing. yeah, no, it was, it was great, great memories.
Just before we stop, I can't let you go without asking about your time with Gloucester, because you suffered injury which brought an end to your playing career.
Yeah.
And then, but you've remained with Gloucester.
I have, yeah.
Can you just quickly walk us through how that all happened?
The injury was absolutely galling. You know, it was Northampton's first game. It was actually my brother's wedding that day. And I remember the fixture list getting announced, and because my brother said, I'm going to get married. I was delighted for him. And we got the fixtures announced, and then I was named as captain for the game.
And you just signed a new contract.
Signed a new two-year contract. And so it was all just... And we had a new coach, Nigel Davis, had come in. And yeah, I got injured, and I was just gutted by that. But you know, it was what it was. At least it was clear cut. It wasn't going to be one of these ones where I'm fighting to get back, and it was going to be possible. It was a definite. This is the end now. which is quite good in a way, and I look back and I'm probably quite grateful for that, because if there was a 50-50 or you could get back but you might not be as good, then it doesn't really help clarity. And I'm all about clarity. If we get clarity, then I can move on and do something else. But Nigel had come in and he needed support, and it was lucky that he did need support, because I was quite happy to help. You know, I said to him at the time, I was like, I don't want to just sit back, I'm injured, I want the best for the team here, I'll help you out whatever you need doing. And he was grateful for that, so I took on the role of team manager then. And it was purely just because I asked him, and we sort of said, like, I can help you, and I will. And I did for the rest of that season. And then he said, well, we'll need to keep you now. So that was great. And it forged a career for myself, which was great. And doing that role saw me in place for 6 years about that time. And saw lots of changes, new CEO, new... a few new coaches. Dave Humphreys came on board, and still doing the same supportive role, but I was always ambitious. I wanted to do more. I always wanted to do more. And so I started my study. I hadn't studied since university back when I was 18, and I'm nearly finished now in my second or last year of doing an MBA. And so I've nearly done that, which is great. But my interest was always to get involved in the business, that the actual running of the club and how we make this club wonderful, because it is wonderful. But we can still do loads more. There's so much more opportunity the club's got. So I spoke about this with Lance when he came, and he just said, "Well, we'll see what we can do." And the opportunity came up, and I grasped it. I mean, it's a great opportunity to do something completely different to rugby, but I see them very linked in, because it's all about team success, really. It's a rugby club. We wanted to make it a really, really good rugby club, but not just on the pitch, off the pitch as well. And that's supportive of all the supporters who sponsor us, who come up to the matches, not just on the match day, but in the boxes here and all the rest of it. So. Yeah. Exciting times ahead, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Many more years at Gloucester.
Well, let's hope so. Why not?
Yeah. Thank you very much for that.
No problem. Thank you.